As you know, we've been talking for the last few weeks about some of the stories that we heard when we were kids. One of the mistakes that we make in Christian life, those of us who have the blessing of growing up in church, one of the mistakes that we make is we hear these stories as kids, and then as we grow, we kind of relegate those to our childhood years. And we fail to benefit from what we can learn from those same stories when we're willing to look at them as adults. And so that's what we're doing these few weeks together as we consider the fact that Bible stories aren't just for kids. And I want us to go back to one of the favorite stories of children, and that is when God talked to a child. If you'll join me in 1 Samuel, we'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I want us to look at the time that we talked with the children just a minute ago about the time that God called Samuel. Look with me, if you will, in 1 Samuel chapter 3. There are some things that we can learn from Samuel. I want us to be able to do that together. Unfortunately, I won't have the outline for you to view there, but those of you who are outline people, you'll be happy, as we've got a four-point outline. No poem this time, but we've got our traditional four-point outline. I just won't have it to project for you, and I apologize for that. But let's look. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. The word for boy there is a word that's used for really a teenager. So he's actually a little older than most of us perhaps have pictured when we've heard the story. Samuel was a young teenager. The interesting thing is that it says he ministered before the Lord. That phrase is used of the work that the priest does. And so here is a young person. Here's a teenager who's already involved in ministry. It says that he ministered to the Lord before Eli. In other words, Eli was the priest at the time, and Eli kind of watched over Samuel. So Samuel was ministering. He was doing the work of a priest, but he was under the careful watch care of the actual priest at that time. It's kind of like an apprenticeship, if you will. Now, before we go too far into the story, you need to remember a little bit about Eli. Eli is a good man, but he's a bad father. Eli had sons who did not follow the teachings of Israel. Eli made some mistakes along the way, and his boys now are people of power in the temple, and yet they abuse that power, and they have actually started leading God's people away from God. And so it's a very, very sad situation in which Eli finds himself. He comes to the point where he has to rebuke his own sons, and there is a family split there as Eli continues to follow God and his sons kind of refuse to do so. But it is in that setting then in verse 1 that the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. The reason for that was because they were going through a transition. Samuel was, I guess we could say he was the first national prophet. Until Samuel, God led his people through the judges. Well, now that the time for the judges has gone, and we're entering the time of the prophets, when the prophets will speak for God. God will tell the prophets what to say to the people, and the prophets then will speak to the people for God. And Samuel is the first one of those. And so this is a major transition period here. And it says that during that time, a word from the Lord was rare. Visions were infrequent. So it is strange that God would speak in an audible way. It's just not something he was doing very much of at that time. So that sets the stage for the story. And as we begin the story together, I want us to see what we can learn from Samuel. The first thing that we can learn is that we want to learn to listen. We want to learn to listen. He says in verse 2, it happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. There's an interesting reference there to the fact that the lamp had not gone out. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. The reason that is helpful in the story is it kind of gives us a time frame. The lamp was lit every night, and it would burn all night. And it would go out about the time that day would start. And so he's saying that the lamp has not yet gone out, which means it is late into the night. It's actually pretty close to dawn, or he wouldn't have put it that way. It hasn't yet gone out, but it probably will soon as we get close to dawn. So these are the early, early morning hours. And notice where Samuel is. It says that the lamp has not gone out. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. You notice he was in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. No wonder he was in a position where he could hear from God. You see, he was where he was supposed to be. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing, and he was doing those things at the right time. One of the reasons I think that we don't hear from God, one of the reasons that we miss when God is trying to direct us or speak to us, is because we're not in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. You know, when we make selfish choices, what we are doing in effect, and I say we, I mean us. I'm here. What happens when we make selfish choices is I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, where I want to do it, how I want to do it. That puts me in a position where I'm not in the spot where I'm supposed to be, either mentally, physically, or emotionally. I'm not where I'm supposed to be, and so I miss the message. You see, Samuel was in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. That allowed him to be in the right frame of mind to hear from God. And so he benefited from hearing. He even heard while he was asleep. Many of us who are supposedly awake never hear. Isaiah chapter 42 and 20 addresses that very thing. In 42 and 20 of Isaiah, it says, "You've seen many things, but you did not observe them. Your ears are open, but none hears." I wonder if you live life similar to the way I do, where we're always in such a hurry. We've got a list of things that have to be done in order for us to get to the list of things we have to do today. We're always in a hurry. And I've always got to have something going on. If I'm in the truck, I've got to have the radio going. If I'm at home, I got to have the TV going. If I'm at my desk here at the office, I've got the computer going and it's playing something. It's got something happening all the time. And because that's the way many of us live our lives, we miss a chance to hear. Isaiah says, "You see a lot of stuff, but you don't observe." There's a difference, isn't there? He says, "You hear a lot, but you don't listen." Do you know there's a difference between hearing and listening? We learn to listen when we learn to slow down and pay attention. Some have learned the Christian discipline of silence. I'm not good at that one. But I do see its value. To just stop and be quiet. That does two things. One, it puts me in a position where I can hear. Instead of hear everything, it puts me in a position where I can actually listen. But two, it says to God, I'm more interested in hearing from you than I am in entertaining myself with all the stuff around me. And so we stop and we get quiet so we can listen. Samuel was in the right place at the right time doing the right thing so he could hear. I wonder how many of us stop long enough to put ourselves in the right place at the right time so we can hear. I told you I listen to the radio. What that means is I punch a button on my little preset list there and punch one of those preset buttons and it goes to the station that I like. When I'm at home, I've got my remote and I'm moving around the channels. But you remember when a radio was a radio and you had to actually turn that dial to find the station, especially AM stations. Oh, it'd take half an hour just to get it set on there just right to hear it the best way you could. You had to actually tune in to get the message. And you know, if you don't turn the radio on or you don't set it right, you're not tuned in, the message is still coming. You're just not receiving. I wonder how many of us take time to tune in to the Lord. You say, well, God never talks to me. Is that true, or is it more accurate to say you never hear Him? Do we stop enough to be quiet enough to tune in and really listen? Learn to listen. It's something that Samuel can teach us. There's something else that Samuel can teach us as well. Samuel can teach us to learn to recognize God's voice. We learn to recognize God's voice. Look at the story again, beginning in verse 4. The Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." Then he ran to Eli. He said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again, "Samuel." Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he answered and said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. You see, he didn't recognize God's voice because he didn't know the Lord yet. He didn't recognize God's voice because he had not heard it yet. And so when he heard something, he assumed that it was the only other being in that place that could speak. That's pretty logical. You just assume that it's Eli. Eli's the only person in the building. But what we find out in verse 7 is that the reason he didn't know it was God was because he didn't know God well enough to recognize his voice. I remember when we went to Kyle Field one time for a football game. Notice I said Kyle Field instead of the name of the place because I don't want no whooping. We went to Kyle Field for a football game. And I remember that we sat on way up high on that end zone way over yonder. And that day, these fighter jets came over, and they came across the field low, and we were high. You know, high seats are cheap. So we were way up high, and the plane was way down low, and it flew right over our heads, and I have never heard anything so loud. It's one of those sounds that you actually feel. You're not sure if you hear it, but you feel it. It's all over you. It was the loudest sound I can remember ever hearing. Some of us get in a position where we think that's how God should speak to us. He should write a message across the sky, and he should come with this loud booming voice that shakes us down deep within, and it ought to be a powerful, wow, loud thing. But you remember Scripture. Elijah said, I saw the mighty wind, but that wasn't God. I saw the earthquake, but that wasn't God. Then the fire came, but that wasn't God. I heard God in what? A still, small voice. You see, one of the reasons we don't hear him is because we're listening for the wrong thing. We're listening for some great, big, booming, powerful, hey! When instead, a lot of times, God is quietly, patiently, lovingly, just saying, John, will you listen? Just listen. We have to learn to listen. We have to learn to recognize God's voice. You see, we continue in the story in verse 8. The Lord called Samuel again for the third time. He arose and went to Eli. He said, "Here I am, for you called me." Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. Eli knew the Lord, and he understood how the Lord worked, and he discerned that. I wonder how many times we hear a preacher and we say, you know what, the preacher said something good. I like what the preacher said. Or we go home and say, I didn't like what that preacher said at all. We like to evaluate teachers and preachers. And I wonder sometimes if we could step out of evaluation mode and say, God, I don't want to hear the preacher, I want to hear you. I wonder if sometimes God is speaking, we just think it's the preacher or the teacher or the best buddy giving us advice or mom and dad. Samuel thought it was Eli. Really, it was the Lord. Sometimes the Lord is speaking to us. We just think it's the author or the speaker when it's really the Lord. We continue in verse 9. Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Eli understood that it was the Lord because he recognized his voice. I don't do it on my phone anymore, but when cell phones first really started getting fun, one of the fun things that I did was I had one ring for Lisa and a different ring for Ashley and a different ring for everybody else and a different ring for Phil. And when that one sounded, I ignored it. But you remember, some of y'all still have it set up that way. So without looking, you know who's calling just by the ring it makes. So you recognize who's calling because you know the way the ring sounds. You see, if we can learn to really have a relationship with the Lord and get connected to Him and start listening to Him through His Word, that's why we call it His Word, because He speaks through this. If we can get used to the way He speaks here, and we can spend time being quiet with Him long enough that we can learn to recognize His voice. That's what Jesus said about real disciples. In John 10 at 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." My sheep hear My voice. They know My call. We need to learn to recognize God's voice. A third thing that we can learn from Samuel is that we need to learn to submit to the Lord. We learn to submit to the Lord. Look at what Samuel did after this strange event. Verse 10, "The Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.' The Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.'" By the way, that's not a good thing. That phrase means that they're not going to like what they hear. Notice in verse 10, the Lord came and stood there, called Samuel again, and Samuel's response was, "Speak, for your servant is listening." There's some things that we can learn there. Samuel said, "Speak, because I want to know you, and I want to know your will. Talk to me, Lord." When's the last time you stopped long enough to get quiet enough to listen to the Lord, and then you said, "Lord, would you speak?" Samuel's request was, "I want what you want, so talk to me, tell me, show me." When there's not a desire to hear, we probably won't hear. Samuel said, "Speak." But then he also said, "Your servant." In other words, after I hear what you are going to say, I want you to know before I hear it, I want you to know that I'm going to serve you. You see, if we go to God and say, "Tell me your plan so I can evaluate it and I can compare it to my plan and pick which one I like the best," chances are he's not going to bother. But if we can go to him with an attitude that says, "Lord, speak because I want to serve," then he wants to share it with us. He says, "Speak," and then he said, "Your servant," and then he said, "is listening." And that phrase, we miss a little bit of it when it gets translated into English, but the original language, that phrase carries with it a deeper meaning of a willingness to pay attention and then act on what I've heard. That's our attitude with the Lord. We want to learn to submit to him. "Speak so I can know what to do. And whatever it is, I will serve you because I want to follow through and do what you call me to do." Learn to submit to him. If we're not willing to submit to him, chances are we'll never learn to hear him. Only when we're willing to submit will he open our ears to help us hear. We learn to listen. We learn to recognize his voice. We learn to submit to him. And then finally, learn to obey him. It's one thing to submit and say, "Okay, I will." But then once you get the directive, it's something different. Do you follow through and obey? Beginning in verse 15, Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, but Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." He said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." So Samuel told him everything. He hid nothing from him. He said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." You see, when God came to Samuel, he said, "Samuel, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to tell the people something." And remember that phrase that it said it would make both their ears tingle? I told you that that means they're not going to like what they hear. So here's what happens. God says, "Samuel, I'm going to use you to tell your entire nation bad news, and they're not going to like it." So Samuel says, "Well, let's form a committee to consider maybe the possibility of finding other messages." Samuel says, "I'll tell them good stuff, but you're going to find somebody else tell them bad stuff." Samuel says, "Okay, this is more than I thought. I'm just going back to sleep." You know what Samuel really said. Samuel said, "Speak so I can hear and I will serve." And God called Samuel to be the first prophet. And Samuel accepted that responsibility. He was obedient, followed through, and did great things for God. Learn to listen. Not just hear, but to listen. Learn to recognize God's voice. The way you do that is by being familiar with how he speaks. Learn to submit to him. "Lord, whatever you say is what I want." And then learn to obey him. That's when we really begin to hear him better. Those are things we can learn from Samuel. But before I conclude, I want to point out to you there's something we can learn from Eli as well. Eli teaches us something as well. At the end of verse 18, Samuel told him everything. He had nothing from him. He said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Samuel is talking to a kid. He's talking to a teenager. And he decides he's going to hold that teenager accountable for his behavior. He's going to speak to that kid and say, "Stay in the center of God's will." And he is never going to underestimate what God might do in a young person. You see, Eli confirms it, and he says to Samuel, "Go get him, boy. Go." I want us as a church to continue in a very real way what has been a long time tradition here. I want us to consciously, on purpose, continue this tradition. And that is a tradition in which young people, teenagers, students have a place where they can hear. And then we hold them accountable and we believe that God can do great things through them. Teenagers, those of you who are about to be teenagers, I want you to hear something. You're going to hear people say you're the future of the church. And that is true. But it's only half true. You're the future of the church. But you are also a vitally important, necessary part of the body of Christ today, right now. You're not just the future. He's not going to just use you someday. If you'll let him, he'll use you right now. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for a chance to learn from Samuel, to be reminded of a few things from Eli. God, we do want to learn to hear you. We want to learn to recognize your voice. And so we pray that even right now, at this moment, that we might be able to experience just a little bit of that. Father, as we have a time to be quiet, help us to listen. And if you have something to say to us in these quiet moments, don't let us miss it. If perhaps during this quietness, this stillness, if you call us to make a commitment to you or to take the next step in our faith, Father, give us the courage to obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Before we sing, I want to ask you if you would just take a few seconds and just be quiet. Say, "Lord, speak to me in this time," and then just be quiet. Now we're going to sing together our hymn of invitation. And as we sing, if the Lord has been speaking to you either in the last few minutes or the last few days or weeks or months, if the Lord's been speaking to you saying it's time for you to give your life to Christ, to personally, individually, meaningfully trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you come? Let's pray about that. Let's talk about it. Maybe he calls someone else and he says to you, "I know you're a Christian already, but I need you to come back home. I'm ready for you to recommit your life to following me in a meaningful way." Maybe he says to someone else, today's the day for you to join this church or to commit to enter into missions or ministry. If the Lord would call you to make a commitment in a public way, would you come? Let me pray with you. Phil will be here. He'll be glad to pray with you. The altar is open today as well. If you just feel led to come and pray privately, please come.